ARVN.
Good afternoon and welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. What a crazy web we might weave today, because this market was all over when it came to the wheat being the leader, outside market influences, not to mention that happened in the gold market and higher cattle trade kind of influencing all in there as well. We're going to get the details and why this is just kind of an odd Tuesday trading session. As Heather Ramsey joins us, she is with the ARC Group, and let's kind of dive into the fact that wheat was kind of the one that grabbed a hold of the leash and took everybody along for the walk.
Yeah, it was definitely a wheat-driven day. We've been talking about wheat kind of being the puller of corn lower, and then we need good days on soybeans to kind of be the drigger of corn higher. And today was one of those days where wheat is off. Kansas City wheat's off 12. Here at the close, it looks like Chicago wheat off about 12 as well. Just not a friendly day for wheat. And a lot of people, I think, in the U.S., get so frustrated with this wheat market because they're like, what are you talking about? This is not reflective of what's going on in the U.S. market. And at this point, it doesn't really matter. What we're looking at is a global issue on wheat, and that is just a supply glut is the cause essentially right now. And that's, we've got wheat out our ears, and Russia is exporting, making sales like crazy. One little bright spot is it looked like there was talks that Ukraine has maybe ran out of exportable wheat here this week. The numbers don't jive with Ukraine being able to selling more wheat for export. So maybe that stops one of the big players in what has been just a robust sell-off of wheat. So that's kind of, you know, in question here is like, are they really done? Russia's still offering wheat to the market. And when you start to look at the numbers, like the value of wheat, you see that from an export perspective, the players in the market, where are you going to buy wheat from? U.S. spring wheat is priced like $1.14 higher than Russian wheat FOB offers. If you look at hard red winter wheat, it's over $2 higher than where Russian FOB offers are at. French wheat's a little bit higher, but that's going to be your first backstop. If you're not buying Russian wheat, you go look at French wheat. You know, they're only about 20, 25 cents higher than Russian wheat price today. So, it's just really interesting to look at that picture, that side of the picture. And it's like, oh, well, duh. No wonder nobody's buying any U.S. product here right now. If you've got Russian wheat offered so cheap to the market and your primary buyers are out of the Middle East, are out of Africa, India, like those places, then it makes sense that they're not buying U.S. wheat. Unfortunately, it makes sense. So you got that going on in the background. You know, on the flip side of it, yesterday we did see open interest increase on an up day in corn. So if corn can separate itself from wheat, there's definitely some sort of momentum there. But unfortunately, when you have a day like this, it's just hard for corn to get its own legs, and so it gets drugged down a little bit with it.
You know, there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of thought process out there about why Russia is dumping. You and I were kind of talking about that before we started this program, but to dump the wheat as cheap as they are, knowing the effects it's going to have on the global marketplace.
Yeah, I just, and the reality is, I don't know that they care the global effects. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I mean, the reality is they're trying to move grain. There's a lot of speculation. They're trying to move grain, make sure they got capital generated. You know, they're voluntarily cutting back on their oil and gas production to help kind of bolster the price of, you know, world energy prices. You know, that's kind of what's going on in the background there. So, I mean, you know, how much of it is, I just got to move this stuff, I don't want quality to go bad, and how much of this is, I got to move this stuff and generate some cash on hand? It's a good question. I'm definitely not, I'm not the expert to say what exactly their frame of mind is behind the scenes, but I think there's a lot of question marks there. Like, does this make any sense? And on top of it, do they really have that much wheat? I mean, I think for years now, we've been questioning whether or not they really have that much wheat. The USDA numbers agree that they do. You know, they've slowly ratcheted up over the last 2 years and just continue to increase those wheat numbers out of Russia over the last 2 years. And so now they match. now the USDA matches what Russia's saying they have on hand. So, you know, that kind of leads to, like, what is really going on behind the scenes? And I mean, I think that's a great question. I definitely don't know that I have, like, the answer to that one, right? I think there's a lot of things going on in the background that, you know, we probably don't even think about on a regular basis here in Nebraska, especially.
Yeah, no kidding, because you kind of feel like at times that you're isolated in your own little marketing bubble, that sometimes it's easier to forget what's happening globally, which we shouldn't be forgetting about.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I think it's very easy for, especially in Nebraska, it's very easy for us to stay in tune with, like, weather, northern hemisphere, weather in the southern hemisphere. That's kind of like what we do. Like, you know, you call up a friend, like, how was the weather yesterday? Like, we're good at that. We're good at, like, keeping track of what's going on there. There's so many outside moving pieces. You know, we talk about what's the dollar doing, what's crude doing, you know, what's cattle doing, you know, all of these things that go into it. And depending on the day, one of those voices is always louder than the other. And today it happens to be, well, actually, I should say probably the last couple months, it really happens to be what's going on in the wheat market, just dragging and pulling the life out of corn with it.
You know, it seems like this wheat complex, if you're not hearing anything from it, it's just kind of doing its own little thing. But when it rears its ugly head, it sure grabs everybody along for the ride.
Yeah, it definitely does.
All right, well, stick around, folks. We got a lot more to talk about when we get back. Well, let's take a look at what's happened. You heard Heather mention the word weather. I mean, can we not have a conversation about the grain markets without talking about weather? Well, we're going to take a look at what's going on weather-wise as well. We'll talk about this gold market, too. All-time record highs going on for them. What's the driving factor that might be seen there? We'll also look at China. They're buying of more grain as well. It's going to be a great conversation. Stick around for part two that is just around the corner. The Channel Final Bell right here on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVN.
Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. The conversation continues today with Heather Ramsey. She is with the ARC Group, and we kind of spent the first whole half kind of talking about what was going on in this wheat complex. And you mentioned, Heather, weather, which obviously brings the fact that we had high winds above normal temps and some million-plus acres that were burned in Texas and Oklahoma, not to mention the spot wildfires in Kansas, the ones in Nebraska. Some have some concerns as to what it might mean for this wheat crop going forward.
Yeah, and I, you know, this week definitely is when we've seen some of that headline switch, where we're hearing more people bring up the fact that, hey, west of the Mississippi, this has been a drying trend. Like, all of February, the forecast for the beginning of March, this is a drying trend. And, you know, last year was not great. And hey, guess what? The year before that was not great either. So there's definitely some rising concern there on what does soil moisture look like west of the Mississippi specifically. Looks like east of the Mississippi, there's definitely a wetter trend coming, a wetter trend hitting. And then I would say you get through about that mid-Iowa line. So halfway through Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, you know, the eastern portion of that, it's wet. The western portion, it just shuts off. So there's definitely a concern there. What we are starting to see is more discussions go the direction of, hey, we're almost here to planting. We got to be very cognizant of what's going on planting in the northern hemisphere. And that's not just the U.S. We're talking Canadian prairies, too. There's been a lot of drought and fires over the last several years in the Canadian prairies and not a lot of replenishment. You know, so they're in the same virtual boat that we are here. So that's been a real big issue. We're still concerned about South American weather as well. You know, definitely have made progress on harvest down there, and that's allowed them to get some of this Safrina corn crop, this winter corn crop in. But I will say right now, the models align to start looking drier mid-March down there. There's one model that's definitely been more accurate in the long term than the other, and that really shows a drying out. And so this idea that we are a tapering off of the monsoonal period early is definitely starting to circulate and you know, take charge of kind of the weather headlines for South America. If that's the case, I don't know that it really does a whole lot more damage to the soybeans. That's probably not the case, but it is that winter corn crop down there that they're looking at. If we have this tampering off or tapering off of monsoonal rain, I mean, that really hurts the yield potential on winter corn in South America. So there's still a lot of weather, and there's going to continue to be a lot of weather. I know around here anyways, Susan, we've seen a whole lot of fog days over the last few months. And, you know, who knows how much truth there is to that, but that old wives' tale is hanging out there, and people are nervous. People are nervous that we're going to go from really dry and warm swings back to really wet and cool swings. And we've seen years before where that's the case, and that wet, cool planting window, it does not, it's not very friendly to soybeans in a lot of cases. So there's all kinds of things running around out there. We are in the midst of the switch, is kind of my opinion. You switch your mindset, you switch your mentality as far as the trading books and the trading activity goes, and you start looking forward to spring planting. And right now, when you're forecasting a U.S. crop, this is as perfect as it's going to get in a lot of cases. And so there's a lot of hesitancy. Thankfully, there's a lot of hesitancy towards adding a whole lot of short positions by the funds right now. So that's one good thing we have going for us. You know, we bought back some of those positions here last week and yesterday. We are hesitant to add any more serious short positions, which is what we need. We need them to back off. We need them to actually go into an offsetting of those short positions and maybe buying in and creating new longs. And so to do that, we need this uncertainty in weather. We need this uncertainty in spring planting. So I'm all for the uncertainty. That's only going to help us and help maybe gain some traction from the funds. And we need them to sort of buy in and play along with this so we can see some price recovery at the end of the day.
So I'm curious, we don't usually talk gold, but what happened in the gold complex today?
Yeah, today's crazy. Setting new highs in gold, which means the dollar is lower because the commentary comes from wanting to remove some of those paper mortgage-backed assets from the Fed side of things and do more of a physical gold-backed asset for our environment, the U.S. Fed. China's made some allusions to that as well. And so we're seeing gold skyrocket today. We're putting in new highs. If dollar is down, which is helpful to commodities. Gold trading about $2,140 per troy ounce right now, which is just fantastical numbers. just that switch from the Fed Reserve and what they're kind of looking at for an outlook, they really want to build that gold reserve and robustly so. So that came out today from the Fed chairman, his comments. So that's definitely being supportive to the gold complex. When you look at all the other outside factors you mentioned that we kind of look at earlier, you know, crude is off a little bit today, but we had been back to and approached that $80 a barrel number. That's a key point for the biofuels and that market.
What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you, Heather?
Yeah, they can give us a call anytime. I'm 402-484-7474, extension 125 is the direct number. Check us out online at agriskconsulting.net.
All right, that's the Channel Final Bell right here on the Rural Radio Network.